Well, I wanted to open up. I've been given the privilege of sharing a brief word with the graduates and with the families that are here. I want to open by asking a question. What are you looking at? And I guess these are probably words that are most often heard right before a fight breaks out. But that's not exactly what I mean by them. What are you looking at? These are important questions to ask as you turn the next page of your life and begin a new chapter. As you move into this next phase, what is it that occupies your mind? What is it that has your attention? Where are you focused? Because I believe very strongly that the things that influence us the most are the things that we look at the most. They are the things that have the greatest and deepest and longest lasting impact on who we are, those things that we fixate on. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." As one of my mentors aptly put it about this passage, we become like the things that we behold. As we behold God, we become like Him. And so it is with everything else. Those things that we fixate on, we actually take on some of their attributes. Well, this is a two-edged sword, is it not? It's good and it's bad. Whether it's good or bad depends on what you are looking at. And it stands to reason that if you become like the things you spend your time looking at and fixating upon, then if those things are good, then this is a good fact. But if those things are bad, then maybe it's not so good. Well, some studies have shown that media now influences most youth more than even their own families, more than their friends, and most definitely more than their churches. Given the principle that we've just looked at, this is an enormous cause for concern, in my opinion. Well, what's so bad about that, you ask? Give me some proof, Pastor Josh, that there's a problem. Well, an article by Emily Greenhouse in the New Yorker online says this: "In the United States, suicide rates have risen, particularly among the middle-aged. Between 1999 and 2010, the number of Americans between the ages of 35 and 64 who took their own lives rose by almost 30%. Among young people in the U.S., suicide is the third most common cause of death. Among all Americans, suicide claims more lives than car accidents, which were previously the leading cause of injury-related deaths." Why is this happening? Is there a connection between the influence of media and these alarming statistics? Yes, I think there is. We won't stop looking at ourselves. Kristen Neff, who's an associate professor of human development at the Culture of Texas, human development and culture at the University of Texas in Austin, says that we are living in the middle of a narcissism epidemic. Have you ever looked up the meaning of narcissism? It says this: extreme selfishness with a grandiose view of one's own talents and a craving for admiration. Well, from a biblical perspective, this is very bad. Self is not something that you want to be consumed with. The same woman, Kristen Neff, writes in an article in Psychology Today, "The great angst of modern life is this: no matter how hard we try, no matter how successful we are, no matter how good a parent, worker, or spouse we are, it's never enough. There is always someone richer, thinner, smarter, or more powerful, someone that makes us feel small in comparison. Failure of any kind, large or small, is unacceptable. The result? Therapists' offices, pharmaceutical companies, and the self-help aisles of bookstores are besieged by people who feel they're not okay as they are. What to do?" Well, good question. What should we do? Well, I think we need to change what we are looking at. The world can be divided up into two major realms. The first is yourself, and the second, everything else. Our culture is enamored with self, and that's why we are in the middle of a narcissism epidemic, and I believe why suicide rates are soaring even across the globe. We've lost our amazement with things outside of ourselves, and we are all in a trance staring in the mirror. But at some point, it must give way to something bigger, or else we become stunted on our way towards maturity. People who lack maturity, I believe, are people that cannot get beyond themselves. There are people who fail to see the bigness of life. Like Gollum in Lord of the Rings, their whole lives become consumed with this small, small thing, like a little ring. And so their souls shrivel up. But we weren't made for small things, were we? Have you ever wondered why we love to be thrilled? Why do humans go see things like the Grand Canyon? Why are we amazed when we look up at the night sky and see billions of stars? Why do we go to Niagara and see over 6 million cubic feet of water pass over the crest of the falls every minute? It's because we were not created to look at ourselves. We were not created for the inward realm. Everything about the world and about our experience says, look out. Stop looking at yourself. Probably the healthiest people, both you and I know, are people that do this very well. They are people that are amazed by everything but themselves. To these people, self is small. Well, it makes sense then, doesn't it? That if we were created for something outside of ourselves, but we spend all our time consumed with ourselves and being bombarded by a culture that is encouraging us to be all about ourselves, that we would encounter some pretty serious problems, would we not? Well, everyone in here wants you graduates to succeed. We are all rooting for you. We celebrate what you have accomplished or will very, very soon accomplish so far, and we pray for only greater success and blessings on your future. But I want to share, as one who was in your shoes 15 short years ago, can't believe it's been that long, to give you a few nuggets of wisdom to chew on now. Well, if what I've said so far is true, then there are three big myths that I would like to address about your future. Three myths about becoming an adult, three myths about this next chapter of your life, that if you don't reject, your growth, I believe, will be stunted. Of course, I also want to present some truth. It's not just look at the myths. Well, let's look at what's really true. So I want to counter those three myths as well. Well, the first one is this. Myth number one, your greatest problems are outside of yourself. I was asked by the American Legion recently to do the memorial service opening and closing prayers this year out on the green. And one thing that God laid on my heart for that event was a quote by one of my heroes named St. Augustine. And he says this, bad times, hard times. This is what people keep saying. But let us live well, and the times shall be good. We are the times. Such as we are, such are the times. That is right. Our culture has it backwards. We believe our problems are on the outside, and the solutions are on the inside. That could not be more backwards. The truth is, our problems are in us, and the solutions are outside of us. And if we're going to get well, we need to look to God, not to ourselves. Again, the problem is where are we are looking. So what are you looking at? The second myth. When you grow up, you must leave pleasure and thrills behind you. Well, maybe you remember the old Trix commercials with the rabbit trying to take the cereal. Silly rabbit, tricks are for kids. I don't know if that's from y'all's day or not. When I was... may show my age now. But basically, there's this rabbit trying to get the cereal, the little fruity pebble trick cereal, and the kids keep coming in and saying, no, these are for kids, not for you, silly rabbit. Well, many of us think that way about adulthood, do we not? Tricks and fun and good times are for kids. Adulthood is when you crack down, get serious, and leave the thrills to your children. Well, that's a half-truth. It is true that most adults don't have time to play and recreate as much as young people do, but that does not mean that becoming an adult is therefore boring. Most adults are trying to provide for someone, not themselves completely usually, but for a family or someone else, or they are working towards that. So most younger people, and I think adults too, believe that to be an adult means you leave the fun behind and you get serious, you crack down. I think that if you believe this, your growth will be stunted as well. Why? Well, because there's a false assumption at work here that you have to be about yourself in order to be happy. And since adulthood requires more responsibility and more attention given to others, it must be pretty unhappy, pretty boring. Again, the problem is where we are looking. Adulthood will be much harder if we only find joy in pleasing ourselves. That is true. Children and youth can get away with being a bit selfish sometimes, can't they? It gets harder when you grow up because you're usually taking care of others in some way. Well, I think this is the true measure of adulthood, which you graduates will be stepping into very, very soon. It's not just age or income or employment status or education or marital status or any of those things. The measure of adulthood is whether or not you have mastered the art of finding pleasure in pursuing the well-being of others. And this is the model of our Lord, is it not? Hebrews 12:2 says this, that we should fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. The truth is this, there is greater joy in letting go of yourself and following hard after God. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Don't believe the myth that in order to grow up, you have to leave pleasure and joy behind you. Jesus didn't. Pursue your joy in God and in serving others as Christ did. And you'll have a long and happy future, I believe. Well, the last myth is related to these other two, and that's this one. When you grow up, you will make time for God. Let me say that again. When you grow up, you will make time for God. That is a myth. I played college baseball down in North Carolina for 4 years, and I can tell you how many times I heard this from my teammates. Josh, I'll do the God thing when I start having kids, man. Leave me alone with that stuff. I'll do that later. That's for when, you know, when I get out there, maybe I'm not playing ball anymore, whatever. I'll go to church then and do the God thing. Statistics say, no, you won't. Most likely, you will not. Recent studies show that nearly 80% of all youth walk away from Christianity after high school. 80%. And actually, one half of 1% of people that are out of high school actually live with a biblical worldview. One half of 1%. These are studies. It's not someone's opinion. The truth is this. If you choose to follow God later, most likely you will not follow Him at all. Once again, I ask, what are you looking at? If you take your cues from culture, most likely you will just end up looking to yourself for everything. A much wiser approach, in my opinion, would be to look outside yourself for life and purpose and meaning. Look to Jesus. Look to God, and He will fill you with that joy, and He will make your path straight. Well, congratulations again to you soon-to-be, very soon graduates. I do wish you all the best.